Welcome back to Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bullbarch saddled up alongside Steve Bailey, filling in for Matt Douglas today. And we're with you until 5 o'clock, leading you into the Cobos Insurance Center Countdown at the Q, presented by Ray Gittich Heating and Air Conditioning. We'll have plenty of time to talk basketball in today's show, but we're going to turn our attention to the diamond for now as we send it out to Sin City, Las Vegas, site of baseball's winter meetings. Dan Helm, friend of show, is out there right now, and Dan's kept his ear to the ground since he arrived earlier this week. Great to have you on the show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, Paul, how are you guys doing over there? A little warmer out here, about 60 degrees.
See, I was able to play that card a couple weeks ago when I was down in the islands of Turks and Caicos, but I can no longer play that card, and now the roles are suddenly reversed. I'm not so sure that I like that, but I would imagine things are great over in Las Vegas. You know, I've never been. That's on the bucket list. I would love to get to Las Vegas. Have you had a chance to thoroughly enjoy it yet, or has it been mostly business for you?
That's the great part about Las Vegas is during the day it's a lot of business, and in the evening it can turn in a different direction, and there's just so much to do and so much to see. So you could come out here probably 10 times and never do the same thing, but a lot of business out here, and it's just a crazy week, so it's fun to combine the love of baseball and then just the not be stuck in a hotel room all day.
Understood. And baseball matters essentially kind of wrap up tomorrow. And boy, it's been pretty slow on the trade and free agent front so far. Although, again, the meetings aren't done just yet. And I think a lot of people outside the scene who follow this, whether it be on radio or on television or on a number of social media platforms, are looking at this really kind of waiting for something to pop. And it's gotten to the point, too, where you see guys who cover the game, and I would say they would probably go as far as to tell you they cover this thing religiously. They're even starting to leak things that aren't definite just yet. And that gives you a pretty good idea that well-respected reporters and things of that nature, they're getting to the point where it almost seems like they're not bored, but they want to report something. They're kind of ready for something to break. And, you know, when you're looking at this from the outside, I think you look at this and you say, wow, it's got to be pretty boring down there with nothing popping. But look, if you're there, it's a totally different story.
You're right, and it's funny you say that about how the reporters are just waiting for something to pop, and I think the thing this morning was J.A. Happ to re-sign with the Yankees, and that got reported early. But you physically see, you know, all these people are coming and going, and I've been around a lot of the, you know, you see a lot of the managers, front office staff, but all the reporters, and it's the people you see on TV at night, Harold Reynolds, John Heyman, Carl Ravitch, and Ken Rosenthal. And they will physically be sprinting by you trying to get either on TV or to get a break. And they're all trying to beat each other. And it's really funny because you see these guys in suits literally running as fast as they can through hotel lobbies and stuff like that. So then you automatically jump out, pull your phone out and try to see, you know, what's happening, because that means something major is happening. And it happens two or three times a day. But, you know, as far as waiting for something to pop, I think, obviously, the big storyline is Machado and Harper and where they end up and how much they get. And I think a lot of people are hesitant to sign until then. I think you're going to start seeing some pitchers first. But I think, you know, and you take a look at the Indians, and they play it smart all the time. And they want to see how they can build through trades. And teams like the St. Louis Cardinals do that. And I think if you want to be in a smaller market, that's going to be how you can compete. And if you give a guy $350 million over 10 years, you're really limiting what you can do the rest of that time.
Certainly, you hamstring yourself financially, and I think that's what a lot of teams are definitely afraid to do. And primarily, that's why you see a lot of the big dogs in baseball, the teams with what seem to be unlimited budgets, seem to be in the mix there for the likes of Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. And while we're on the topic of those two guys, you get the impression that a deal for either one of those guys could be potentially coming soon? And do you think there might be a dark horse in the race for either one of those guys?
I think what's going to happen, I almost wonder, you know, when there's a boxing or UFC match coming up and those guys get really close and they stare at each other for the weigh-in, I'm kind of waiting for the other to blink. I almost feel like those two guys are waiting for one or the other to see and, you know, see what they can get. And I think a lot of teams are seeing like that. You know, because if Machado ends up signing for $250 instead of $300, you know, that really drops, you know, can Harper ask for more now because now he's the only guy out there. But I do think there is a lot of dark horses out there, you know, and a lot of teams are trying to tell themselves now with a lot of this TV money, is it worth taking that risk? And a team that I've heard kind of rumblings is their chance that both of them sign with the Chicago White Sox. Now, obviously, to the Indians fans, that's not a good thing, you know, seeing those guys back-to-back in the lineup against each other. But, you know, does a team like that make that kind of splash? Because when was the last time the Chicago White Sox were relevant, you know? Think about how many more kids would be buying White Sox jerseys and the White Sox would be on national TV all the time, things like that. So, I think, too, like you see with college recruiting in different sports, I think these players now are taking their time. What's the difference if they sign today or in 3 weeks when maybe they have a chance to go visit the city, see what else it's like? I mean, this is a commitment you're making for 10 years. You know, even as you and I taking jobs, we wouldn't do that. Just, hey, you have a nice baseball stadium. But, I mean, obviously, I'd move a lot of places for $300 million.
Right. Yeah. Can't think of a city you'd bypass for that kind of money, right? I think relocating would be much, much simpler. Again, we're talking about baseball's winter meetings. Dan Helm joining us here on Bullseye on the afternoon. And, you know, there were a couple of other issues that I wanted to get into here that weren't necessarily trade or free agent related. I do want to come back around to some Tribe stuff. But, you know, we had heard a lot of talk about conversations at least beginning about killing the shift. And then it seemed like that momentum all kind of went away. Again, at least on the surface, observing this from the outside looking in, maybe that's because a lot of what we've seen and heard has been inundated by free agent signings or lack thereof in trades, and we haven't heard a lot about some of the other discussions surrounding the game. Are you hearing any more of that down there as they pertain to the shift?
Yeah, there's some rumblings, and I think what it is one of the reasons we've stopped hearing about it is just because we only hear about Harper and Machado. But I think those conversations are still happening, and I really think it's going to come down to if the players' union is going to have a say in it or not. You know, when it first came out, if you watch social media, guys that get hit into the shift all the time, I mean, they would do anything. And, you know, people are saying, oh, that's Christmas, that'd be Christmas come early. You know, and you get, and then you get just like every other argument in baseball. It's going to be whether it's, you know, it's the purist versus what do you do to maintain, you know, with the younger kids and the next generation trying to groom them as baseball fans, what's it going to do? But there's a lot of little things like that. That's the major one. You know, the other one is the pitch clock and do you adjust the mound visits for the coaching staff and, you know, and I think a big thing beyond player signing is the concern that how do you necessarily speed up the game, but how do you keep the game growing so it is fan-friendly, it's appealing to watch on TV, just because of when you and I learned to love baseball, we couldn't just pull out a phone out of our pocket and play 50 different games or, you know, do those type of things. So they've got to adjust and adapt a little bit to the new culture, and they just want to try to stay ahead of the curve as much as they can.
Which is fascinating, too, because I know that that's a big reason that you're down there and the business that you're in. And I find that interesting how a lot of ideas certainly materialize down at the winter meetings. But it's a conversation worth having because as you're trying to include the incoming generation and find out what kind of makes them tick, you know, for you and I, you just alluded to it, it was so different for us growing up and going to games and watching games on TV. I recently finished a book written by Jim Clark. It was called Rally Round Cleveland, talking about the story of the 1974 Cleveland Indians. And it was a nice throwback in time. I mean, here we are in this book especially. You're going back four decades to find out just how different it was covered back then. And as a fan, you just didn't have access. So when you went to those games, you enjoyed the games because in many cases, that was the only way you could consume it. Now, you have so many different ways to consume this, and that's why there's so much TV money involved. And I think when the incoming generation goes to the games, is it fair to say that even if they're a fan of the team, a lot of times they walk out of these games not necessarily knowing the situation or the score?
Yeah, that is very fair, and I think you've seen it a lot with how the teams create the game and the atmosphere. Major League Baseball has really taken a page out of Minor League Baseball's book, where Minor League Baseball has always been about entertainment first. You come for the game, but we're going to entertain you with dizzy pad races and mascots and prizes to win and basically 3 hours of nonstop, you know, grab your attention. And I think that has really carried over to the big leagues where, when you look at the size of the Indians video boards, you know, they didn't buy that thing to show us, you know, stats and what, you know, Lindor is hitting for the night. You know, that thing is to entertain you. They have in-game promotions every half inning. And it's just constantly to keep your attention, you know. And, the way we talk about it in the business is, what are you going to do to make somebody or keep somebody from pulling their phone out of their pocket? You know, what's going to grab their attention? And it's just, I mean, it's obvious that everybody's attention span is shorter. And so if there's 30 seconds between pitches, you know, do you lose yourself in that? Or are you watching, you know, Slider, you know, kind of goof off with some kids and, you know, steal a lady's hot dog kind of thing?
Which is interesting because, again, I know that's not necessarily the sexy part of what goes down from a fan's perspective at baseball's winter meetings, but that's a large portion of what gets discussed there as well, isn't it?
It is. It is. And, you know, it's just the simple things, too. You know, you and I went to an Indians game this year, and we picked a night that they had fireworks. And, I mean, when those fireworks start, the entire whoever's downtown stops what they're doing, and they watch those fireworks. You know, and then you get detailed conversations. Well, what if the Indians did fireworks every night? Well, obviously, it wouldn't be as effective. So then it's trying to find, you know, the smart balance between that. And we see in our town, we're lucky because the Indians do a great job, and so do the Cavs. The Browns are a little different just because they only have 8 games. But with the amount of games that the Indians and Cavs have, even when the Cavs were good, what's going to get you out there? And it's like, is a T-shirt jersey going to bring you out there, or, you know, a size extra large, you know, T-shirt for the entire stadium, which only fits about 20% of the people it goes to? Well, teams are now having the conversation. Okay, let's start getting, you know, 5,000 mediums, 5,000 smalls. So kids and moms and dads that are all different sizes can leave with a T-shirt. Then you've made a whole family happy instead of one of the 4 people in the family. I know that sounds a little bit crazy and a little detailed, but those are the kind of conversations that are going on between the minor league teams and between the major league teams. And it's really been cool to see the big league teams kind of leaning on the minor league teams of how you do it and do those things.
Very interesting stuff. Again, Dan Helm joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, talking about what's happening in Las Vegas at baseball's winter meetings. We'll close it out on this, my friend. I told you I wanted to bring it back around to the Tribe, and I know our listeners are very, very anxious to see what the Tribe might do before the end of the winter meetings. I mean, there have been 18 gazillion different rumors floated out there. I don't know if there's anybody other than the Dodgers right now that it seems like would be the most likely trade partner for the Tribe as far as dealing one of their 2 starting pitchers that seem to be at the forefront of all these trade rumors, and Corey Kluber and Trevor Bauer. Is there anybody else that you're hearing about that might be a potential dance partner for the Indians?
Well, right now, you know, and these teams always get the headlines. It'll be the Dodgers, Yankees, Red Sox, teams like that. But you look at teams like, and the way to kind of look at it is who's right there on the brink. So, you know, a name I've heard a lot is the Milwaukee Brewers. Either Bauer or Kluber, and I would think that they most likely part with Kluber just based on age. You know, he could maybe be, you know, the Brewers went 7 games in the NLCS. You know, does a guy like Kluber swing that to maybe put you in the World Series and win it? I'd say it gives him a pretty good chance, but small market teams like Milwaukee have to say to themselves, you know, is it worth giving up young guys and that we, you know, we may fall back in a couple of years? So look at small market teams like that, Milwaukee, the Twins. Now, I don't think that the Tribe would more than likely trade anybody in there, but teams like the White Sox, the Rangers are kind of teams that have been on the lower level. Another team would be Tampa Bay, teams that think they're kind of right there on the cusp. And that's another thing is, what's your view of, are you right there on the cusp? Are you really like that, or are you just trying to convince yourself or your fan base that you are?
Going to be very, very interesting to see what breaks, if anything, with the Tribe before the winter meetings wrap up tomorrow. Dan, a pleasure as always, my friend. We appreciate the time. Safe travels coming back this way. And, boy, temperatures are going to be right at the freezing mark when you come back. So prepare yourself for that when you get back here in a couple days.
I'll try to bring some sunshine home for you guys.
Please do so, my friend. Appreciate the time as always. Thank you.
Thanks. Have a good one, guys.
Thanks, you too. Again, Dan Helm joining us down at the winter meetings in Las Vegas. We'll see if anything breaks for the Tribe before they wrap things up there tomorrow. Time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Steve Bailey and I return after this here on AM 930 WEOL.